Over recent weeks, we have on a Sunday been looking at a number of phrases with the words one another in them. Phrases such as praying for one another, loving one another, supporting one another, respecting one another, forgiving one another. One of the biblical phrases that I chose not to use in that sermon series was the phrase, greet one another with a holy kiss. This appears, as you can see, at the end of Paul's letter to the Romans. He uses the phrase at the end of both of his letters to the church in Corinth, to his letter to the church in Thessalonica, and also Peter says in 1 Peter 5, greet one another with a kiss of love. And I know that over my experience of working in churches and attending many churches over the years, there are some people who very much literally embrace this particular ministry, and they will greet with a kiss. I must admit, I find it a little bit awkward. I don't mind a holy handshake or a holy hug, but I have struggled a little bit with the holy kiss. I tend to just keep all of my kisses for Elaine. And that's it. And of course, we know that culturally in the Middle East and in places in Europe, people often will greet one another with a kiss. They're often kissing on both sides of the cheek. And that's part of the cultural way. And it may well be that's why Paul and Peter both use these phrases in their letters. Because they're saying, look, what the world around us does to welcome and to accept one another, make sure that the church is doing the same thing. So greet one another with a holy kiss. But you may be wondering, why am I mentioning the subject of kissing on Good Friday? It's not just because it's my wedding anniversary today. It's not that. That's not the reason. But when I started to think about this service a few weeks ago, there was one particular phrase that kept coming back to my mind. And I dismissed it at first and thought, no. But I've kept coming back to it. And it's not a Bible verse, but it's the final line of a song. The song, Here Is Love, Vast As the Ocean. A wonderful expression of love shown to us through the sacrifice of Jesus, who allowed himself to be crucified to bear the punishment for our sin. And verse 2 has these words. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. And it was that line, kissed a guilty world in love, that kept coming back to my mind as I was thinking about today. We know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Judas betrayed Jesus by showing the guards where Jesus was. And then indicated which of the many people in the garden was Jesus by kissing him. A very strange thing to do, bearing in mind that kissing is a sign of affection, and what Judas was doing was anything but loving. So much so that Jesus questioned his actions. It says in Luke's Gospel, Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Whenever I've considered the Easter story, therefore, I have linked the image of the kiss with this scene, the kiss of betrayal administered by Judas. But this year, the line of that song kept coming back to my mind, that on the cross, Jesus kissed the guilty world in love. And I began to ponder what that might mean. It made me think of the parable of the prodigal son, which is also found in the Gospel of Luke. That parable has got many aspects to it, but one of the aspects is the feature of the welcoming father, welcoming back his son after he had left the family home and had treated the father with disrespect by asking for his inheritance early, essentially saying, Dad, I treat you as if you're dead. And even though he'd left the family home, which would have increased the workload that the father had to get involved in. And even though the son had lived an immoral life, which would have brought shame and embarrassment upon the father, despite all of those things, the father never stops loving that son, never stops waiting for him to return, to the point that when he does come back, having realized the errors of his ways and repented of them, it says in Luke 15 that he was thinking this way: I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him, and kissed him. Now, this was just a made-up story, but part of this story was to say this is how our Heavenly Father is thinking and welcoming back those who have strayed away from him. And that kiss of the prodigal son's father was an indication of his continuing love for his son, regardless of what his son had done. And an indication of the great joy of seeing him return back to the family home. And an indication that he forgave his son for all that he had done. And was now welcoming him back into the family home, not as a hired servant, but as a loved, as a loved son. Excuse me. It's a lovely story. And I think it illustrates well this idea of Jesus kissing a guilty world in love. Excuse me. As Jesus hung upon the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Even before people repented of their sins, Jesus was calling for them to be forgiven. The cross is the place where forgiveness is offered. The cross is the place that provides a way back to the family home, that we once again may be in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. The cross is the place where we receive the kiss of the Saviour. The scriptures mention many things that are made possible because of the cross. And I want us to read a few of them this morning. And I want to encourage us to receive them as a kiss of love from the Heavenly Father through Jesus the Son to us, his children. So I'm going to read some of them, and we'll read together some of them together. So Jesus suffered and died to show the wealth of God's love and grace for us. Romans 5:7 says, one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Receive that kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to provide forgiveness and freedom from our sins. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to cancel the condemnation and legal demands of the law against us. Colossians 2:13, he forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to make us holy and blameless and perfect. Let's read these ones together. We'll say where the verse is first. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to heal us of moral and physical sickness. Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to give eternal life to all who believe in him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to deliver us from the present evil age. Galatians 1:4, he gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to reconcile and bring us to God. Let's read these together. Romans 5:10. If while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to give us confident access to God. Hebrews 10:19, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to enable us to live for Christ and not for ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Receive this kiss of love today. Jesus suffered and died to free us from bondage to the fear of death. Hebrews 2:9, Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Hebrews 2:14, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Receive this kiss of love today. And finally, Jesus suffered and died to bring peace and unity. Let's read together. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." Receive these kisses of love today. So Jesus kissed a guilty world in love. He suffered and died to show the wealth of God's love and grace for us, to provide forgiveness and freedom from our sins, to cancel the condemnation and legal demands of the law, to make us holy, blameless and perfect, to heal us of moral and physical sickness, to give eternal life to all who believe in him, to deliver us from the present evil age, to reconcile and bring us to God, to give us a confident access to God, to enable us to live for Christ and not ourselves, to free us from bondage to the fear of death, and to bring peace and unity. We are truly recipients of the riches of his love and grace. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice of love that has made so much available to each one of us. We receive your kisses of love with grateful thanks and respond, asking that you may receive from us our expressions of gratitude, love and willingness to serve you by being an expression of your love to those around us. May you continually remind us of your love, and may we continually bless you with ours. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.